Here at Jewish Rock Radio, we care about the meaning and the action behind Jewish music. Every week on Jewish Rock Radio, we feature a series of provocative shows hosted by top artists in Jewish life, dedicated to enriching your knowledge about Jewish artists, their music, and the impact they're having on our world today. Up next on Jewish Rock Radio, join host Charlie Kramer on JRR Artist Feature, where he talks one-on-one with Jewish artists about the deeper inner workings of their artistry, writing, connection to Judaism, spirituality, and so much more. You're listening to Jewish Rock Radio and JRR Artist Feature with Charlie Kramer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of JRR Artist Feature. My name is Charlie Kramer, and we are here today with Eliana Light. Eliana, hello!
Hi, friend! It's so good to be here with you.
It's nice to be with you, too. Eliana is an absolutely incredible musician, has so much to tell in terms of God, and with that theme in mind, there's a brand new album out that Eliana just released, and it's called Songs About God. I wish you could see the spelling of the album, because just saying it doesn't give it like the full justice. But it's an incredible, incredible piece of work by Eliana, and we're going to start off right away by listening to some of the songs. So we're going to go off song number one, which is going to be Skyman, right here on Jewish Rock Radio, the official home of Jewish rock. Enjoy.
When I close my eyes,
I still picture a dude in the sky.
Hello and welcome back to JRR Artist Feature, everyone. This is Charlie Kramer. That was Skyman by Eliana Light. And it's a nice treat for us to be able to actually listen together over the interwebs, right? And to hear it and just to relive it. I've heard you do that song live so many times, but to hear the voices of the little children just brings me back to conversations that we've had about really how the song formulated of you going through this journey of dealing with what God means to you and what God doesn't mean to you. I think it's a really powerful message and a powerful song.
Thank you.
How did you end up writing this song? Like, how many years did it take you to get to the point of being able to express what you expressed?
So the song is actually one of the newest ones that I wrote on the album. It's only a couple of years old. I might have even written it only last year. And it came to me in a flash after many, many years of thinking critically about the way that we talk and don't talk about God, especially in our Jewish educational institutions. I had realized through working especially with bar and bat mitzvah age children and even with younger children that when we just talk about God at a surface level, we're not giving the whole picture. And I grew up thinking that God was a dude in the sky with a beard, even though that's not actually a very Jewish idea, because of the way that I had been taught. And I don't fault my teachers for it at all. I think that there was a fear of how to talk about God. And I think post-Holocaust especially, no one really knew what to do with that. The theology that we thought we all had to follow of a good God that controls everything in the universe wasn't necessarily making sense for people, but they felt like that was the only way that they could believe. And that's what I thought. It took becoming a Jewish educator myself to realize that I had been through my own personal journey from when I was young. I had never been thoughtful about my own theological journey before I started seeing it in other people. I talk a lot about my work being parenting my child self, going back and thinking about the way that I was raised and who I was as a child, and that the dude in the sky figure was actually very comforting to me as a child. God was like my imaginary friend, and I would talk to God all the time, tell God when I was sad or when I was happy, when I needed comfort. And it made sense until it stopped making sense. You know, when I was 18 and my father passed away, a lot of the ideas that I thought I had to hold on to about God ended up feeling not comforting, but hurtful. And it's been a long time to move away from that. But as it says at the end of the song, I keep coming back to that image. And sometimes, it's comforting, and sometimes it's harmful. And part of this journey has also been realizing I'm not alone. When I play that song in concert, you know, people come up to me and say, yes, I also grew up thinking God was a dude in the sky. And it's also really hard for me to get away from that image. And it's been gratifying for me to give people a space where they can think and talk about these things a little more openly.
It's a profound journey where you're really, I feel like you're doing soul work for yourself, where you're going back and reliving this journey that you had in yourself and journey you had in your head, and you're giving yourself this opportunity to be able to reevaluate and restructure how you think and how you look and how you believe, And for everyone out there who's listening right now, I have a good feeling that there's a great majority of people shaking their head going, I used to think God was a dude in the sky, or I go through this all the time. And that's where the real beauty and the power and the work that you're doing is coming from. Have you always in your Jewish education journey been focused on God so heavily, or has this been a newer discovery over the last few years?
It's interesting because the way that I came into Jewish education and even Jewish music was through prayer. I loved prayer growing up. You know, my father was a rabbi. My mother is a Jewish educator. My mother sings and has a lovely voice. And we used to go to shul, and I loved singing and being in services. And I felt some sort of magic. But I was also a kid who loved performing, and I came to it from that angle. You know, bima literally means stage, and I got to be up on the bima singing and twirling around and all of that. And that's really where I came into it. It was only later as an adult that I started learning what the prayers meant that I had been saying my entire life. And that's something that blew my mind, right? I went to day school. I had been praying every day since I was a child. I went to Jewish high school. And then finally in college, my first or second semester, I took a liturgy class. And I learned that prayers were written by people, which I kind of knew, but had never actually thought about seriously. Prayers were written by human beings, and they're poetry. Beautiful and complex and deep poetry. And I had thought my whole life that I had to sing it as if it was literal, when it totally wasn't. And so learning more about how prayers developed over time, how prayers are structured, how the Siddur is beautifully structured to take us on a journey. That was the first time where I thought, hold on a minute. I've been saying these things my entire life and I have no idea what they mean. So that was like step one. And then when I was in a position to teach other people prayers in Torah, then it started getting in my head. So like I tell this story all the time, one of my bat mitzvah students had Parshat Korach, where Korach brings the rebellion to Moses and God opens the ground and swallows Korach and all of his followers. And that was really hard for her to swallow. And she said, Eliana, this is really tough. I thought God was supposed to be good and loving. And here God is opening the ground and swallowing all of these people. And not only that, but then God brings a plague that kills thousands more. How could a good God do that? And I didn't have an answer for her, so I tried to stall. I said, let's take your Siddur and start working on your tefillot, your prayers. We'll talk about this later. So she opens up her Siddur and she starts to chant, Ve'ahavta, you should love God. And it clicked in my head. I'm like, I'm asking her to love that God. The God that she just read about killing all of those people. And I don't know what to tell her, because that's not the kind of God I believe in, but it's right there in the Torah. What am I supposed to do? And it was from that point that I kind of started working backwards through my own spiritual journey. How did I arrive, or continue to arrive, because it's a constant process, at a place where God is so much more expansive for me? And how can I help bring others into that?
Wow. So how do you now answer those questions?
How do I answer those questions?
So if you had a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah student now,
right,
what would you say?
So there are a couple of ways of going about it. First, I would engage the student in a conversation about the truth of the Torah, right? The difference between big T true and little T true. Or as a teacher once said, not is the story true, but what is true about this story? What can we learn from it? You know, Rabbi Mordechai Kaplan said that we need to help Jews take Torah seriously without taking it literally. And that's something that's really spoken to me. And to also say, at least in my opinion, again, all these things are my opinion, but I think it's important for teachers to share where they're coming from, is that the Torah is a chronicle of the way that those people related to the divine in the universe. And it doesn't have to be your way. It's a chronicle of the Torah people. And we are the Torah people, but our world is very different than the world of the Torah people. And we are not the only ones to struggle with the way God acts in the Torah. As we'll talk about, I think, with the next song, the farther you get away from Torah, the more difficult it becomes. Because you look back on the way God works in the Torah, answering people, talking to people directly. And it's hard when you don't see that in the world today. But I would also share with students, and I remind myself of this, while I might be jealous of the Torah people for how close their God connection seemed, they needed a mediator. God tried to speak to the people directly at Mount Sinai, and the people could not handle it. They said, get away. This is too much. It's too scary. Moses, you go up and talk to God. We don't want to deal with it ourselves. And from that point on, the only way that we could have a ritual connection with the Holy One was through the sacrificial system, which meant that we had to go through a priest, right? We don't have to do that anymore. So there's both. There's a craving for that connection, but also the knowledge that we can tap into that ourselves. And then I think the biggest question that I would want to engage with a student or with anyone else is, what do you mean when you say God? This is something Cantor Ellen Dreskin and I talk about all the time. What do you mean when you say God? Because that matters. It matters. For me, the question is not about belief. I find belief to be too black and white of a word. For me, it's about relationship or journey. And there's the idea intellectually of what is God. And then there's the feeling of, when do you feel connected to something greater than yourself? Because that for me is God. We just don't all name it that way.
Wow. There is so, so much in my journey where I struggled with the exact thing that you're talking about. And I so wish that someone at some point asked me, what do you mean by God? I think that's such a powerful question. And I want to get into a little bit of what you mean when you say God, but I want to wait and I want to listen to another song first and give us a chance to hear the next song, which is going to be If Only. And it's another song directly off of your new record. We hope that you guys enjoy it and stick around for the next segment where we're going to dive in a little bit into actually what Eliana means when she talks about God and when she says God and what some of her belief systems are. Because so much of what we're talking about is you guiding other people, but I think it's important for us to discuss where it came from for you, because the journey always starts within. So this is If Only off of Eliana's brand new record, Songs About God, right here on JRR Artist Feature on Jewish Rock Radio.
Until the road, but to bottom, I've ever tried. can't get enough Jewish rock? Visit us online at jewishrockradio.com. Jewish Rock Radio is listener supported. We count on your support to provide the ultimate in Jewish rock. Visit www.jewishrockradio.com/support and pledge your support today.
Welcome back, everyone, to JRR Artist Feature. That was If Only by the one and only Eliana White. And that's off of her brand new album, Songs About God. Now, the song is called If Only, but for people who don't speak Hebrew or are not able to translate as much, I mean, that's me. I'm raising my hand. You can't see it, but I'm raising my hand. I just want to know a little bit more of, first of all, what is it about and why If Only?
Amazing. So the Hebrew in the song comes from Psalm 27, which is also called the Psalm for the Days of Awe because it's traditionally said every day during the month of Elul. So my journey with the song actually starts back when I was 18 after my father passed away. My first month of saying Kaddish was during the month of Elul. So I would go to services in the morning and we would say this psalm every day. And the psalmist seems to really, really believe in God's protection and the power of God's protection. The Lord is my light, my help. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Whom shall I dread? Right? When foes come to harangue me, they will stumble and fall. God will be on my side. And there's a line later in the psalm that says, though my father and mother leave me, though my father and mother leave me, the Lord will take care of me. And it was my little rebellion against God not to say that line. Because in my head, I thought, they didn't leave me, God. You took him from me. You took my father from me. If I'm supposed to believe that you can do all of these things that the psalmist is saying, you can also not take my father before his time. And it was only until later when I started studying the psalms more, particularly with Rabbi Shai Held of Mechon Hadar, did I realize that the psalmists are going through the same existential and faith crises that we are, right? If the psalmist has to say, God is my protection, everything's fine, like things are not fine, right? I have way more empathy for the psalmists now. And you can tell even in this psalm. So he's like, God is my protection. God is my protection until like the very second to last line when it almost trails off and says, Lulei ha'amanti, lirot batuv Adonai be'eretz chayim. If only I could be sure I would see the goodness of the Holy One in this world. Which means he isn't sure. Which means he doesn't know, which means he's living in the mystery as much as the rest of us are. So that's lulei, if only. But then the next line, it's almost as if he picks himself up and says, nope, kaveh el Adonai, chazak ve'yametz libecha ve'kaveh el Adonai. Trust in the Holy One, be strong. Ya'ametz is an interesting form of the word courage, so I translate it as encourage your heart and hope in Adonai, which on the one hand is a beautiful way of saying it's important to have hope no matter what. On the other hand, I would have loved to talk to the psalmist and say, what if it was okay to have doubt and have those questions? What would the conversation have looked like?
I heard you say something really powerful in there, like talking about things that we do know and what we don't know, and a lot about belief and trust. What are things that you do know? You specifically, what do you know?
About God or in general?
I'm leaving it open. I mean, the whole conversation's about God, but like, what do you know to be true?
I know that there's a lot that I don't know, but in terms of God, right? there is a truth that I keep coming to over and over again, which is the truth of our interconnectedness and the truth of the oneness of everything. And it's not just human beings, I don't think. It's us and our earth. It's us and the things we create. It's the past and the present and the future. Everything is one organism. And when a piece of that organism is hurting, all of us are hurting. And I learned that from our sacred text. I mean, the as we might say in an old school way, the watchword of our people, right, is Shema Yisrael, Yodhei Vavhei Eloheinu, Yodhei Vavhei Echad. If there's anything that we can say for certainty, and even that is not full of certainty, it's that Yodhei Vavhei is Echad. Now, what that means for God to be one, there's so much that you can learn from that word. There's so much that you can dig into, but that statement, right, that might be the only place we can start from. Now, again, one way of looking at it is the Lord is one, meaning there is only one Lord and not two, right? That is one way of looking at it. That's the way I grew up and learned it.
And I was taught that way growing up.
Right.
And that's the Lord is one. There's only one God. That's what you need to know, everyone. That's what I was taught. So
right. And that's one beautiful way of looking at it. And it also wasn't until I became an adult that I actually learned what Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, the spelling of God, can teach us about the nature of the Holy One and the world, which is that Yod-Heh Vav-Heh is impossible to pronounce. I used to think that if I said it and got it accidentally correct, I'd be struck by lightning and die. And I know I'm not the only person that thinks that.
It wasn't lightning for me, but like, you know.
Something.
Something.
Right.
Something scary.
But we really just can't, right? Yod without a vowel is just a feeling in your throat. Hey without a vowel is breath, right? So we can't pronounce it. But the closest we can come to a root is that it shares a root with lihiyot, which is the verb form of to be, right? If you look at it written out, haya, was, hoveh, is, yihye, will be, even if you don't know Hebrew, you can see the similar letters that are in Yod, He, Vav, He. So instead of saying, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, what if it was, listen up, Yisrael, literally meaning those who wrestle with God. Listen up, God wrestlers. All that is your God. God meaning that which you put above you, right? That which you worship, that which is the source of all things. All that is one. Everything is one. We are all connected, and there is a mystery and a beauty and a weightedness that keeps that together and flows between all things. If I'm pressed to give a definition of God these days, that's what it is for me. It's all that is. Because for me, prayer, right? The Siddur, I think, is people trying to put into words their feelings of God, their experiences of holiness. And that's part of where we stumble, is we take their words and we try to say them as if they're our own words, instead of learning from them, looking at them as poetry, having empathy for the people that wrote them, where I think the prayer is actually the way that we say it, or what comes out of our hearts, or the things that we can sing. So my relationship to prayer has been totally changed by opening this up and using especially what there's a Christian theologian called Paul Ricoeur, and he talks about second naivete, which is looking at holy scriptures as if they are true, even though you might know intellectually that they're not, and just allowing that mystery and that beauty to speak to you again. And it's totally changed. There is so much beauty and depth in the Siddur, so much that it can teach us and me. I mean, realizing this has definitely helped me lead a more centered and loving and empathetic life. When I finally started taking these concepts seriously and applying them to my own life instead of dismissing them as childish, you know, it's really deep stuff. I don't know if that answered your question. I have a tendency to just go on because it changes every day, you know. That's why God has one name but hundreds of nicknames. We all have different ways of relating to that which is greater than ourselves in the universe.
I mean, I personally relate so much to what you're saying, and I'm having a hard time even saying anything because it's hitting home for me so much. And remember a huge shift in my life when I started to think of God as I do now, which is the source of everything and the source of oneness and the source of connectedness. And now I think of God more of as like this moving energy, right? That we all have within us and around us and throughout everything. And when I shifted to begin to look at the world in that way, I will say my life personally really improved, and it made me feel more grounded, and it also made me see the light in everything and see the beauty within the challenges that we may have, you know. And I think your story about your father specifically is so striking. And I mean, for me, I struggle with this idea of like, why would God make me blind?
Right.
Right. And it's not an accident. That is something I know. Like when the question that I asked earlier, like, what do you know? I know that it was not an accident that I am blind, you know, or that I'm legally blind. And I think it's not an accident at the same level that you are connected to this calling and journey of finding out more and cracking open people's containers of what God is. And I don't know. I know that I don't have all the answers, but I know that it's not an accident. And I think that for me is very powerful. This idea that like, it's not just because. It wasn't like, oh yeah, whatever, fine. That's not it. There's something connected here. And that's why I loved when you talked about Shema, you broke it down in that way. The connectedness between everything is so powerful. And I love thinking of the Shema in that way.
Yeah, I want to go off of two things that you said. The first being shift, that there was a shift in you. That is so important, because where I was hung up in my own theological journey was I really wanted to be a good kid. I wanted to be a good kid. And it's true. My morality was very stark and black and white. And I tried to do the right thing. And I was very upset when I made a mistake and very hard on myself. Very hard on myself when I made mistakes, because I thought that God would want me to be hard on myself. God wanted perfection out of me, right?
Where did that come from?
Where did that come from? I guess learning in Torah about the way that punishment was wrought upon the people that didn't listen to God's laws. And also wanting to please my parents, because I do think for a lot of kids, God is just a bigger version of their parents, which is a whole other thing, but it's very true. But I hadn't been given permission that I could change how I thought about God, right? Nobody sat me down and told me. Someone did tell me to read When Bad Things Happen to Good People by Rabbi Kushner, and that changed my life, because I'm like, oh, a rabbi is changing how he thinks about God. So can I. And that's a big thing that I try to give people, is permission and the invitation to expand and explore. Nothing that we're saying, I don't think, is so radical within Judaism. No. There are streams that say it within Judaism. I will say, though, Charlie, and this is a place where we disagree, which I think is good and fine. And I think we've talked about this before, because there's so many ways to think about God and life in these big questions. Not everyone is going to agree, and part of it is being able to hold all of these ideas. The idea that there aren't any accidents, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my understanding of the world, there are. I do think that nature and the way people are born, things combine and things happen. And it's up to us to make meaning and sense out of them. But I don't think that things happen for our benefit all the time, necessarily. You know what I mean? So there's a difference for me between saying, my father passed away so that I could go on a spiritual journey, because I don't think that's true. I think that would be kind of like a really self-centered way of framing it. Mm-hmm. But rather, in this instance, to say, my father passed away. My ideas about God have shifted. What am I going to do with that, right? what meaning can I find and derive from that? But I don't think it happened. Like, it happened because he had a bad heart. That's why it happened, you know? I worry sometimes about putting too much meaning for that, because I do think people suffer. There is great suffering in the world, especially now with what's going on. And I want to help people be able to find meaning and light in their lives without brushing aside the suffering that they are feeling, if any of that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. For me, it's not, when I say that, like, nothing was an accident, I'm not saying that that means the suffering doesn't matter, or that it shouldn't be valued, because
yeah, I figured you wouldn't say that. Good.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the suffering of going through my own journey, and this is all I can really speak to, of being made fun of and not understood, and I mean, it was more than that. Like, I was beat up, right? Because I was blind, you know. That changed my life for the better. Now, in the moment, it sucked. And I think I'm using the word accident in, it's a tricky subject, but I think for me, it's more of, there's a physical meaning. There's a physical reason that it happened in the physical universe. And that's more of like what you were talking about with like your dad's heart, you know, failed. And then there's also, and for me, there's a physical reason. Like, I have a gene mutation. That's why I'm blind. And then there's also the spiritual meaning and the spiritual reasoning that comes with it. And that's really the way that I look at it. I don't think of it only as the spiritual and that's it. I think of it in both ways, but I think that there's a importance of looking at things in the spiritual sense. And I think for me right now, that second half of it, the spiritual side, is giving me a lot of growth and a lot of strength. And that's why I'm leaning towards that. I don't think that there's any accidents spiritually. Physically, there's accidents. But spiritually, there's always a reason, right? There's always something that we can find, similar to what you were saying. And that's really what I'm, I guess, expressing in that way.
That's beautiful. And this is why I love talking to people about this, because every time I do, it gives me something new to think about and reflect on in my own journey. And also to grow my empathy quotient for other people and their experiences, which is something I think the world needs a ton more of, is more empathy.
And I think that there's also a lot of people who are in suffering that might feel like they need to be led back to something, right? They need to be led back to whether it's God or grounding or family. Right? There's so many things that what we're talking about in the physical world, that people are suffering and they need help, right? So before we go into our next song, I wanted to invite you to just talk about what that means for you and also how you discovered writing a song about it as well.
So the song we're about to listen to is one of the oldest that's on the record. Love saying on the record, makes me sound so fancy. I know.
But you fancy, that's why.
I know. I surprise myself sometimes, Charlie. I mean, you know this. I don't always think of myself as a musician, which my friends think is super weird, but it's my own, you know.
I understand, though. I've gone through that too.
My own ideas of myself, which the spiritual stuff is so tied into. But anyway, it was my senior year of college, and I had embarked on a new songwriting mission. I really liked, and I still do for the most part, writing thematically. So I had challenged myself to write a, here, I'm actually going to pull it up in the C-dur. I had challenged myself to write a song for every blessing in the weekday Amidah. And the album was going to be called Please Rise, Volumes 1 and 2, which I thought was really clever.
That's awesome.
Thanks. I thought it was clever. I liked writing from the title first. I only got a couple of blessings in. The song I wrote for Adonai Svatai Tiftach is actually also on the album. It's called Three Steps.
Cool.
But this is, oh, that's the Shabbat Amidah. That's not going to help us in this instance. Come on, weekday. Okay.
Weekday.
Okay, so it's the second of the middle blessings of the Amidah. And the English translation here is, Our Father, bring us back to your Torah. Our King, draw us near to your service. Lead us back to you truly repentant. Praised are you, Lord, who welcomes repentance. And as someone who struggled and still does, but in a much healthier way, with doing the right thing and with forgiving myself for making mistakes, the idea that the Holy One is always ready to welcome repentance was really potent for me. And in the journey of the album, because like the songs are there in a particular order for a particular reason, right? I feel like I'm at the point where I'm wrestling with the concept of God, but I don't want to give God up. I don't want to give up on God. But I feel like there's a break where something has to change, but I miss that comfort. I miss the idea of going back to something and of Adonai, which is translated as Lord, as like a father figure or a ruling figure, something that could hug me and tell me everything was going to be okay. So the Hebrew that we hear is Hashivenu vekorvenu vahachazirenu, which is bring us back, draw us near, and lead us back, which is that to say we can't do repentance on our own. We ask the Holy One for help becoming better because we know that it's hard.
Right.
But we also know in the end that if we've done our due diligence, we are forgiven, and that berating ourselves for making mistakes does not make anything better. And that is something that I'm still struggling with. So that's where the song comes from. It sounds a little different, not actually very much different than originally written, but the production sure is. My producer, Ori Salzberg, is absolutely incredible, and we had so much fun working on the whole album together. And he's truly a chavruta for me, a study partner. Challenge each other, we push each other, we help make the music better. And he heard it and immediately was like, I think I know what we should do with this. And as someone who's a fan of this kind of music, I don't want to give it away. It was don't really give it away. Quite delightful.
Good. I've heard this song. A lot of times I try not to listen to the music in advance, but I'd heard it a few times. I'm ready to get ready to dance. If you're driving in your car right now, get ready to bump it and be that person like kind of like grooving and jiving while you're driving in the car. This is Lead Me Back by Eliana Light right here on Jewish Rock Radio.
I lose sight of you more times than I'd like to. Looking back, there's nothing I can see. But how can it be you don't lose sight of me, even when I hide from what is true? Ooh, Hashiveinu, ooh, vekorveinu, ooh, v'hachazireinu, b'tshuva shlima. Hear my prayers, or was there no one there? Could you read the Hebrew in my tears? After all the years, the silence and the fears, I forgot that you could even care. Ooh, Hashiveinu, ooh, Vekorveinu, ooh, V'chazireinu, B'tshuva Shlima. Always stay. lessons from your teaching. There's a light that shines in every human soul. Lead me back, make it right. Draw me close, Adonai.
Can't get enough Jewish rock? Visit us online at jewishrockradio.com.
You know, you're not a real fan until you fan us on Facebook. Come on, let's be friends.
Jewish Rock Radio.
The official home of Jewish rock. Jewish Rock Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Wow. I mean, Eliana and I just had a full dance party over our Zoom call right now. We were just like going for it. I hope you did too. I love it. I think it's an amazing song. I love how risky it is, in a sense, to like do Jewish EDM. Why not? I think it's awesome. Do it. So, Yashar Koach. Kudos.
Thank you.
I love it.
I think part of it for me also is that dancing to this type of music has become a huge part of my spiritual journey and spiritual practice. I'm very involved in Daybreaker, which I know I've talked to you, Charlie, about before, which are these mostly early morning dance parties. And there is so much freedom and joy in these gatherings, and they're incredibly prayerful to me. And I think Jewish wisdom tradition and Jewish spiritual tradition can exist in these spiritualities, right? Judaism is, you know, the buzzword is embodied. It's an embodied practice, right? The way that we eat, the way that we move, the way that we are supposed to be mindful of the blessings in our lives, it's all there. So this was really heavily inspired by that.
How did it end up coming to inspire the actual production? Like, I know you love Daybreaker and you love dancing and you love EDM, but I'm also not just talking about this song, I'm talking entire record.
Mm-hmm.
How did it influence it on an artistic level?
So Uri and I both have very wide-ranging musical tastes, and it was good to know when we started talking that I didn't have to fit in any particular mold, that the songs were the songs, right? The writing, the lyrics, the melody, except in a couple of places, really did not change. But we listened to the scratch tracks and said, well, this is what we hear. Oh, what would it sound like this way? And just gave ourselves the freedom. Like, If Only, which we heard before, or it was like, that's the beat that's four and also three, like da 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 da, right? It's in there. What if we drew it out? What if we drew it out more? So with this, he listened to it and he's like, it's Avicii. I'm like, is it?
Yeah,
he's
that's like, exactly what I was
yes,
thinking.
It is. Like you, but I already wrote it that way. It was just giving ourselves the freedom to hear those different sounds in our heads. And he worked with a co-producer on the beat. And it just made me really happy to be able to say, this is also the kind of music that I would listen to and dance to in my regular life. So the album is pretty wide-ranging in terms of genre.
Yeah. But you can still hear a through line in the sense of there's music that is acoustic electronic,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. And before our last song, I just want to give you a chance and our audience a chance listening just to hear some of your advice on writing or recording or anything along those lines. Like, what's some of the things that you learned that you'd love to pass on to people?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I feel like every time I make an album, I learn something new about the production process. For me, as someone who's more of a writer, sometimes I get frustrated trying to translate the music I hear in my head out into the world. This is something I think we've also talked about.
Yes.
So it's a combination of trusting your partners and being able to stand up for your own vision and having some patience and compassion on yourself, that it might just take a little longer for you to explain or describe what you're thinking, but that it's worth it in the end to be able to have something that's authentic to you. Holding that at the same time with, like I said, trusting your collaborative partners, honoring them, listening to what they have to say, seeing what direction that goes, but knowing that it's your baby in a sense, right? These are songs that you wrote and you want them to be out in the world with integrity. And just as so many things in Judaism, there are these dualities and there's the spectrum and the space in between. We need to be able to hold both at the same time. Something I've also been doing lately, I'm finding that the songs or the melodies or the poems that I write are coming out of a prayer practice where I'm giving myself more space. So for example, sometimes I'll just pick up the siddur and I will focus on two words that are speaking to me that day. And I'll just sing those words over and over and however they come to me. And sometimes if I like how it sounds, I'll put my voice memo on, but I'll just keep going. And sometimes those turn into things and sometimes they don't. But giving ourselves the space to play around with the words, to really just focus in instead of trying to get all the words at once. What is the wisdom that the siddur is speaking to me in? And how can we use those forms? Like, for example, something I did the other day, I was thinking about how much I love Adon Olam, because anything that's so clearly poetry like that with a meter, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, a person wrote this, right? A person wrote Adon Olam. It's their interpretation, them trying to put into words the feeling of the immanence and the transcendence of the divine. What if I tried that in my own words in the same meter, 6 lines about transcendence, 4 lines about immanence? And it was a really beautiful exercise. And I think I'm going to come back to it every once in a while, because the cool thing about thinking and writing about God is, A, I'm never going to run out of material. Like, there is just it, because it's everything. And there's so many other scholars and spiritual people that I want to read and learn about what they have to say. And it also never stops changing in me.
Beautiful. So it's an amazing opportunity to talk to you and to, for everyone out there, just to listen and to hear what you have to say, because it's going to change the way that so many people think about God, which is a blessing. And before we go, we should go beyond. So this is going to be our last song, and then we'll come back and we'll say goodbye and make sure that you guys know where to get all of Eliana's music. This is going to be our last song for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. This is Beyond by Eliana Light, right here on Jewish Rock Radio.
Leila, 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 Leila.
Yitbarach Ve'yishtabach Ve'yipar Ve'yitromam Ve'yitnase Ve'yitadar Ve'yitale Ve'yitala Yitbarach Ve'yishtabach
Beyond all space and time, beyond this face and mind, beyond all the wind chasing after dollar signs, trying to sanctify, I'm trying to anchor my statements to the ancients while still aiming for the birds I win. I say your name, you're not there. I can't place the blame off in air. I can't erase the rain with my tears. I can't face my pain or my fears without you near. It's so clear that you hear all that I don't say. You were always here before and will remain long after I go away to that which is truly beyond. I offer up this song to that which is truly within. I bring this offering, I know that the flow has nowhere to go. That's its role to move the soul beyond all definition towards the infinite beyond religion.
Welcome back to JRR Artist Feature. That was beyond amazing to have Eliana on our show. Thank you, Eliana, so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom with us, for sharing all that you offer. I had so much fun being able to listen to these songs and jam with you via Zoom and to just talk to you and connect with you and share conversations that we've been having for so long with so many more people. And before I let you just share a little bit of where people can find you, I want to invite anyone who's listening to, if you enjoyed the show or if you found a lesson within it that you felt was really powerful that you'd like to share with other people, to please share this podcast. It's going to help spread the message that Eliana is spreading, which is so important. And it's also just going to help other people around the world and your friends and your family that might need a little bit of a lift up with some great music from a great person. You can share it from any of the podcast apps that you're listening to, or if you're listening on Jewish Rock Radio, you can share the time that you're listening. Make sure you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, and make sure to tell your friends about it on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We thank you for all the support. Eliana, if people want to get in contact with you, where should they go?
So, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This has been absolutely beyond, as we said in the last song. From the cottage, by the way, knowing that even in our texts, it says that we're never going to fully know God, and that's okay, which was an amazing permission for me to find. It had been there all along. I just didn't know where to look. The first place to go would be my website, elianalight.com, that has resources to deepen your learning on the songs on the album, as well as my previous two albums and other fun stuff that I'm doing. The music is on Spotify and iTunes. I've got lots of videos on YouTube. And definitely comment and let me know what this brings up for you. It's amazing to bring this music to different communities and spark those conversations that we've been holding inside for so long to really just start talking about what connects us. It's a beautiful thing.
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, I can't encourage you guys enough. If you have the opportunity to bring Eliana to your community, I know it's a hard time and we're not able to actually, while we're recording this, we're going through the coronavirus. Hopefully when you're listening, we're not. But if we are, there's nothing like planning for the future. We will get out of this. And Amen. A great way to plan for your future is to bring Eliana to your community, to bring this work there. So thank you, everyone. Stay safe, stay healthy, sending you lots of love and lots of strength. And we will catch you next time on JRR Artist Feature. Lots of love.